sent me back home after all of the tests and so forth, because we are thankful that the scans and MRI did not show anything on those. But with the other symptoms that I had, they were pretty definite it was a TIA. But said they were confident in sending me home because the percentage was very low of having another in the immediate future. I will be having an echocardiogram on Thursday, and then seeing a urologist whenever that appointment gets made. I don't know how long I'll be doing this method. I hope this method is only for this week, but I am not real confident about being steady on my feet, stepping up and down this little step that you get on. So after mulling things over, I decided which one looks more foolish, sitting here or falling on my face, stepping up and down. So I decided the latter was more foolish, so I'm going to do this method at least this week. If needed in the future, I will do that. Is there anything else I need to disclaim, Sally? Okay. With all of those disclaimers being made, moving into our announcements. One announcement, I'll go ahead and make it now so I do not forget. We forgot to put it in the bulletin. We will be having our Wednesday night dinner this Wednesday. And the menu is spaghetti with Italian meat sauce, tossed salad, garlic bread, and dessert. So we will be having Wednesday night dinner. Please note that the flower calendar for 2022 is on order. But if you would like to if you would like to place flowers in the church, just please call the church office and they'll make sure that they have you down. Plans are for the Bible study this Thursday at 4:00. Ironically, we are studying James. And if you know the book of James, James says, do not say, I will do this or that. Say, if the Lord wills, I will do this or that. So if the Lord wills, we do plan on having our Bible study Thursday. Should there be any changes, a calling post will be sent out. So at this point, count on the Bible study being Thursday. If there's any changes, we will send out the calling post. United Methodist Men will be meeting next Saturday at 8 a.m. and United Methodist Women will be meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. So please be aware of those meetings. Are there any announcements that should be made this morning that have not been made? If not, I'd like to read a psalm to you, just a quick verse. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily, notice not occasionally, not sometimes, not most of the time. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Let us come together and worship the God of our salvation.
Amen.
Yeah.
us, so we just praise you that we don't have to invite you into our presence, but you have invited us into your special presence as your people come together to worship. As we proceed, we pray that our hearts and minds are in that place where you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we receive your messages to us. We pray that this service indeed is pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." The insert that's in your bulletin, I don't know if you knew, but there are two versions of this in our hymnal, and the one you have is not the one we usually sing. So we're going to sing the one we usually sing. The words are the same, so hopefully it will not confuse you. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 6. Let's stand as we sing.
Concerns that should be voiced this morning.
Yes, John. I'd like to have prayers. I've been here since 98 as a member of this church, and my grandchildren have been here on the most occasions that I can think of, playing the piano, in fact. And so whenever they ask me how's my granddaughter, they're probably asking me about the one that's an F-35 pilot at the Air Force, but it's not that one today. Okay. She's fine. My younger granddaughter, I've been praying for fertility for Lauren. She would love to have a baby, and I would just hope that you would just help pray for that.
Amen. Amen. Are there others this morning? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every day that you wake us up. And we thank you particularly for those times in which the church gathers. And we say as the church gathers because we know the composition of the church is us, brothers and sisters in Christ, under the fatherhood of God. And so, gracious Lord, we just thank you that you've brought us together again this morning so that we come and we share each other's burdens and we share each other's celebrations. And most important of all, we come together as one in worship and praise of your most holy name, thanking you for your faithfulness in all things. And so, Lord, you know each of our hearts and minds this morning. You know that so often your praise just wells up in our hearts, that our adoration and our love and our gratitude just wells up in our hearts. But, Lord, most of us in this room, if not all of us in this room, are of a bent to where our worship is not demonstrative. But, Lord, your heart communes with our heart. So, Lord, we just pray that all of that praise and love and adoration that is in our hearts, even though we may not make a single move, even though we may not say a word to that effect, we pray that as your heart communes with our heart, that you experience our thanksgiving, praise, love, and adoration, and that you are pleased by what you experience. And, Lord, we thank you that your heart communes with our heart so that even in those times of life when we face situations when we don't even know how to pray, we don't even know what to say, we thank you that your word teaches us that the Holy Spirit speaks for us. And that sometimes, even if all we know how to do is just groan or say, "Help me, Lord," you know what our heart wants to say. You know what our spirit wants to say. And the Holy Spirit translates for us. And so, Lord, I just thank you this morning that your heart communes with our heart. And so I pray that everything that is upon each person's heart this morning is conveyed to you. And that each person will be assured that there is no problem that is so large that you cannot address it, and that there is no problem or issue so small that it escapes your care. But Lord, if it affects us, you care. And so Lord, I pray that each and every person, whatever it is upon their hearts that they would bring to you this morning, that they leave this room assured that you have addressed those places in their lives. We thank you this morning that you know our prayer list. You love each person more than we do, for you created them. You know them. You love them. And so, Lord, we pray your healing touch upon each and every one according to your will and your wisdom. Yet we trust our loved ones to you, for we know that you know what we can't. You see what we can't. And so, Lord, with no doubt, we also trust our loved ones to you, knowing that you will answer our prayers according to the good of those that we love, because you love them even more. And Lord, we do pray for Sandy's granddaughter as she desires to have a baby. Lord, we know that there is no greater privilege and no greater responsibility than the joy of raising a child to grow and to love you and one in whom we pour our heart and soul, and as we love them, and we love them before they're ever born, we love them before they're ever conceived. And so, Lord, we just pray that if it would be at all in your will, that you would help this pregnancy to happen. And Lord, we thank you this morning for the freedom in which we're worshiping you. We know that the freedom that we are just accustomed to is but a fantasy in so many places of the world. May we never take our freedom for granted. May we never take those for granted who protect that freedom, both in civilian and military roles. May your protection be upon those who protect us. May your healing be upon the wounded, the visible wounds of the body, the invisible wounds of the heart, mind, and soul. And may your peace be upon the families whose loved ones gave it all. And gracious Lord, we thank you for the family of God that gathers through Walker Church. You have blessed us in so many ways. May we be a blessing to this community and even the world. And Lord, remind us when we leave this place, may we be conscious of your presence with us so that you may lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation is Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's stand as we sing. I have a very good friend who has a saying, everybody carries around a bag of rocks. Everybody carries around a bag of rocks. Quite frankly, that bag can sometimes seem too heavy to bear. We can get to the point where we don't find that we can take another step. And folks will ask us, well, what are you going to do? And they ask Christians, what do you do when it gets so bad that you can't don't feel like you go on? And most Christians say, well, I pray to God for help. And I want to tell you this morning that I think that's the wrong prayer. I think we don't pray for help. I think we pray for God to take that problem on, because that's what He promises to do. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, let me trade places with you, because I don't have that much to carry around, and I can carry everything you can pile on me and more. Does that mean our troubles go away? Nah, it doesn't. But that means that we can now carry them. So, once we've let go of those problems, our job then is to say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory for taking all our sins, everything. God took our place on the cross, and He took everything on Himself.
All the things He has done.
21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the Christian year, today is the day we commemorate the baptism of Jesus. And we're certain that Jesus was baptized by John. And one reason we are certain that Jesus was baptized by John is that I don't know if in your studies and Bible studies or Sunday school that you have run across this thought before, but the church is sure that John baptized Jesus because, to be quite honest, the baptism of Jesus is a thorny place for the church. It's a thorny issue for the church. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record the event. John alludes to it. The problem for the church is John was calling Israel to come and be baptized for the repentance of sin. Yet, we're told Jesus was without sin. So if John is calling people to come and be baptized for the repentance of their sins, but Jesus is without sin, why was Jesus baptized? Well, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm not going to answer that question this morning because I can't. Not completely. The church has never really been able to reconcile this thorny issue completely. So if scholars and theologians, who are a whole lot more smart than I am, have not conclusively been able to resolve the question, I don't propose to do so this morning. But I do believe there are some lessons that we can glean from the record of Jesus' baptism that applies to our relationship with God. Look at Luke's account again. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Luke simply tells us that Jesus has been baptized. The major events that transpired occur as Jesus was praying. In the United Methodist Church, we recognize two practices as sacraments. They are baptism and Holy Communion. And the most succinct definition of a sacrament is that a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Jesus has just participated in the outward act of being baptized. But the significant events of the descent of the Holy Spirit and the Father speaking are inward experiences. Now, John, how did you come up with that? Note that the voice from heaven says, "You are my Son. With you I am well pleased." If you'll recall, on the mountain when Jesus was transfigured and the message was to be heard by the disciples, the passage says that the voice says, "This is my Son. Listen to him." So the first thing we note in Luke's account is that in Jesus' baptism, there was something powerful occurring in Jesus' heart and soul. And since he was sinless, it wasn't about salvation. It wasn't about repentance. So if something was stirring in Jesus' soul, what was it? What might it have been? Well, the best hint is to go back and remember the events surrounding Jesus' baptism. Prior to the account of Jesus' baptism, in Luke 2, 41 through 52, we have the account of Jesus in the temple. The passage informs us that Jesus' family celebrated Passover every year in Jerusalem. Hence, we know Jesus' earthly family was devout Jews. The events of Luke 2 occur when Jesus is 12 years old. If you will recall, that's when a Jewish boy becomes a man. Now, unknown to Mary and Joseph, you'll remember Jesus stayed behind and discussed scripture with the scholars in the temple. And the scholars were amazed at Jesus' understanding. After 3 days, Mary and Joseph find Jesus in the temple. And here's the encounter in 48 through 52. I just always love this passage because to me this is the most human family dynamic of Jesus' life with his parents that we see, or at least one of them. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And this only sounds like a teenage response. He said to them, "Why are you searching for me?" But then it starts getting deeper. "Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" Notice Mary comes in and she's mad at Jesus. I mean, there's no two ways about it. "Boy, why are you treating your daddy and me this way?" But Jesus says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. According to Matthew 3:23, Jesus is about 30 years old when he begins his ministry, following being baptized. Notice, it's been 18 years since the temple encounter. And we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know for sure if when Jesus was in that stall, if somehow divinely he knew who he was and what was coming, or when he realized who he was and what his life was to be about. But we know that at least from the time he was 12 years old, he did. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But it's not until 18 years later that Jesus pursues his calling. He had to wait. At least from the time he was 12 years old, he knew who he was. At least from the time he was 12 years old, he knew what his life was to be about. At least from the time he was 12 years old, he knew his mission. But he went back home with Mary and Joseph, because he had to wait. He had to wait for the scripture to be fulfilled, and he had to receive the instructions that it was time for that mission to begin. With the preaching of John the Baptist, the response and the response of the people, it appeared that it was time to begin that mission. John's fulfilling the role of Elijah, which is to prepare the way for the arrival of the Messiah. And thus it appears that it's time to implement his phase of the plan. Through his baptism, the Father appears to be confirming to Jesus, it's time. It's time. All of Jesus' life had been preparation for the ministry upon which he was about to embark. Have you ever thought of this? Only 10% of Jesus' life was his actual ministry. Only 10% of Jesus' life is recorded as that ministry that made the way for our salvation. Thus, I want to offer you a consideration this morning. I'm not a prophet. I don't have any inside information. But I do feel led to offer you a consideration. Because you see, it's my guess that most every one of us in this room have been Christians most, if not all, of our lives. At the very least, we've been honorable, productive citizens. Most in this room are retired. And I think most of us in this room would say, quite honestly, I've got a whole lot more years behind me than I do in front of me. But let me ask you, is it possible that Jesus has a ministry, a calling, a mission for you today? I propose to you that God can have a calling in store that he's been preparing you for all of your life to this point, and now it's time to implement that phase of the plan. You may have been active in the church and ministry before. Consider, if you will, you fulfilled God's calling for you for that time in your life. You were faithful. You fulfilled God's calling for your life in that time. But now, rather than retire from God's work, is it possible that God has something in store for you in this phase of life? Other than the temple episode, we don't have any information about Jesus from the time he was born to the time he was 12 to the time he embarked upon his ministry. We do have, as we read in our scripture lesson, that Jesus grew in divine and human favor. But we can surmise from that sentence that Jesus was definitely a benefit to his family. Jesus was definitely a benefit to his community. That he had pleased God those first 30 years. But the impact of Jesus' life was the last three. Chew on that a second. I have no doubt God was pleased with the first 30 years of Jesus' life, but Jesus' impact was the last three. You may have been pillars of the churches you attended, and you may have benefited your churches greatly. You may have benefited your communities greatly. And in that, God was pleased with you. But yet God also might have been preparing you for your greatest and most lasting impact now, when you thought it was time to retire. For you see, we retire from our jobs. We retire from our professions. The Bible doesn't say a word about retiring from God's work. So I would encourage you this morning to consider, is it possible, even though I hope I have pleased God all of my life up to this point, is it possible that He's actually intending my retirement years to be my most impacting years in His kingdom? I would encourage you to consider the possibility. And again, we know that Jesus did not just get up one morning and say, you know, I think it'd be cool to be baptized today. He knew a mission awaited him. The scripture was being fulfilled as large numbers of people responding to Jesus, to John's message. And so it looked like the climate was right for the entrance of the Messiah. At his baptism, as he was praying, the Father confirmed to Jesus, it's time. It's time. Now, granted, we do not always know what our specific callings are. And even if we know what our specific calling is, we're not always sure about when to embark upon it. The crucial element is to be walking close enough to God that we recognize the opportunities as they arise and respond according to God's direction. God may be preparing somebody's heart to receive Jesus Christ, and it may be you. It may be your personality. It may be your knowledge. It may be your approach. But Jesus may be preparing somebody's heart right now to receive salvation, and He may be trying to say, John, you're the one to connect me and them. You are to be my messenger. There may be a need in this community that God has equipped you to address. God may be urging someone to step up and continue ministries in this church that would not be accomplished otherwise. The Father spoke to Jesus as Jesus was praying. Perhaps you have sensed God stirring your heart, but you're not quite sure what that stirring means. Maybe God's stirring your heart in a particular direction, but you're not sure about the timing. Well, let me assure you, if it is of God, and if we are genuinely seeking God's will, as we pray, God is working behind the scenes and will reveal to us the right thing at the right time. In the May 1996 issue of Guidepost Magazine, a lady named Lou Killian of Duluth, Minnesota, related how her prayers and God were working together. She relates that she had a dream of adopting a child who really needed a home. And God bless her, she already had a 13, 10, and 7-year-old. But they and her husband agreed that, yeah, we should do this. But sadly, their family business failed, and so and they couldn't adopt a child then. Well, on January 15th, 1985, Miss Killian was offered a full-time teaching position, and which helped in their finances turn around. And so on that day, she started praying for a little girl to adopt. Now there was another snack. Isn't life just full of snacks? There was another snack. A condition of her contract was she had to get her master's degree in 2 years. And so she related that with a lot of help from her family, she got it. And during those years, she continually prayed for that other child that she was sure was out there. And she prayed for that child faithfully every day. Time moves on. Finally, the day came when the Killian family was informed that a child was available, a 4-year-old girl named Cassie. Ever heard of the dog that caught the car? Didn't know what to do. Well, this child became available. And so they're making a 6-hour drive to go pick up this child. And now it's kind of like, okay, our dream's finally coming true. Can we handle this? Are we ready for this? Can we do this? And so she prays. She says, Lord, give me some kind of confirmation we're doing the right thing. So as they met, they got to the place and they met. And as they were about to leave, Miss Killian took Cassie's hand to go begin their new life. And she asked the birth parents what Cassie's birthday was. I'll give you one guess. January 15th, 1985. The very day Mr. Killian began praying for that child. She prayed for her, beginning the day she was born, before she ever knew of her existence. If you're feeling a stirring in your heart, don't ignore it. God may be calling you to make your greatest impact yet. Pray. Walk close to God. Be alert to the needs around you. Be alert to the opportunities around you. And then pray. And keep praying. And watch. And keep watching. And when the time is right, God will call you to move. And God will use you to make an impact for God's kingdom. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you that as long as we have our mind and we have breath in our lungs, you have a ministry for us. And Lord, in different phases in our lives, you use us in different ways. And so I just pray for every one of us in this room this morning that I pray that we have lived such lives that you are pleased with the lives that we have lived and given to you to this point. But I pray that we don't stop here. But we keep listening for your call. We keep watching for those opportunities. That we are attentive to your stirrings. And Lord, when the time is right, lead us into fulfilling that call. That perhaps this might be the time in our lives that you use us for our greatest impact in your kingdom. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is I Am Thine, O Lord. Let's stand as we sing.